Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I'll be your host, Matthew DiMaggio. Today, we are speaking with Jeffrey Hanna, the portfolio manager of Aquila Narragansett Tax-Free Income Fund. We'll be discussing the ever-timely municipal bond markets, as well as the local Rhode Island economy. Welcome, Jeff, and thank you for being on the podcast.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's start right off with a story that's not only affecting the municipal markets, but all of the markets for the start of 2022 here. That would be the Fed and interest rates as they look to tackle inflation. So we've seen how the municipal markets and really all markets sold off on the news of potential rate hikes. What do we expect from the market for that being the municipal market for the rest of the year with anticipation for rising interest rates relative to other fixed income or other markets in general? And how would you say Aquila has positioned accordingly?
Well, you know, I think anything that's credit related has really given some ground in here. I mean, spreads have remained fairly tight. We're starting to see that spreads move a little bit wider. You know, it's also interesting to note that there is kind of a slow flow period, if you will, February to April, as people get ready for tax time. So I think that has impacted the municipal market as well. And you also have inflationary pressures, you know. So a lot of this is, you know, dependent on the information that's coming out, the pressures that we're seeing in supply chain, inflation. Obviously, the Fed is, you know, I think feels as though they've won the battle, if you will, of their dual mandate on one side with full employment. And now they're looking at stable prices. So you know, they really appear to have gone all in on fighting inflation going forward and have announced that, you know, they're expected to have rate hikes and also shrinking their balance sheet, which takes, you know, more securities, more treasuries, municipals to some degree, but mortgage-backed securities, again, out of the market, a natural buyer, if you will, or has been a natural buyer over the last number of years. As far as positioning, you know, portfolio is positioned, you know, very well. You know, it's been a little bit constrained by supply here within the state. But there, you know, some secondary market issues out there. Anything that comes to market in new, you know, we definitely are taking a look at. Portfolio is structured as such, you know, we're probably a little bit longer duration than the benchmark. And while that may sound, you know, a little counterintuitive to where interest rates are going because of the lack of supply, we want to make sure that, you know, we have the portfolio, you know, is basically shortening every month. So regardless of what you have for new supply, and when you don't have a great deal of new supply, you want to make sure that you're invested. And we do have maturities, you know, across the curve. And in this environment where we've seen a little bit more of bull flattening, we actually should perform a little bit better in here.
Great color, Jeff. Moving on to the next question, there is sentiment from our advisor community asking what makes municipals compelling now. Clients are hearing about the potential rate increases that we're talking about and are asking their advisors to give them guidance. How do we help those investors or their advisors discussing the asset class answer that question?
Well, I think from the standpoint of, you know, where interest rates are, you know, just the anticipation of the Fed increasing rates has moved the markets. So a lot of that's already baked in. At this point, it's a matter of degree. You know, certainly the yield curve has taken into account probably about 6 interest rate hikes. Obviously, the Fed has been very cognizant of the data and is going to make additional moves or a lack thereof based on the data going forward. But at this point, you know, at least 6 hikes have been put into the 6-quarter, you know, basis point, 25 basis point hikes are kind of baked into the market already. So from that standpoint, I don't think it's necessarily something to fear. And I think a lot of investors don't realize that as already in the numbers, already in the value of the bonds. I think from the standpoint of, you know, legging into the market, you know, putting a dipping a toe in the water is fine, reinvesting the dividends. And tax rates, you know, haven't changed. You know, there was some talk about last year, and that was anticipatory. Folks kind of piled into munis where we had spreads very, very tight near the end of the year. Since that hasn't changed, I think people have kind of stepped away a little bit and said, you know, let's take a breather. Even with tax rates where they are, it still makes sense for municipal bonds to be part of a portfolio on a tax equivalent basis.
Thanks, Jeff. We talk in great detail here about Aquila with regard to managing locally and the idea that because our footprint within our states, we are better situated to tackle the state's municipal environment. And you have great insight, so we want to ask, what are you seeing on the ground there in Rhode Island that someone looking at your market from a national perspective may miss?
Yeah, we definitely focus at the local level. You know, we know the specific credits and issuers, and I think what we bring here is relative value. You know, so from the standpoint, even though we're investing within the state, I think from the standpoint of where that comes in, we're an issuer within the state, how that compares to national issuers, other issuers outside of Rhode Island. I think Rhode Island often, I don't want to give it away, right, our relative value here, but Rhode Island often gets overlooked just because of the sheer size or, you know, again, the smaller issuance size. If there's a larger issue, it tends to get a little more national attention. Smaller issues tend not to get that type of attention. But I think in general, again, depending on how the issue comes to market, you know, there's some great value to be had in Rhode Island, and we're able to take advantage of that.
And sticking to the state level, but maybe pulling it more to the macro sense, are we seeing anything of note at the Rhode Island state economy?
Well, I think everything seems to be moving in the right direction. You know, we do have, you know, ARPA money, the funds here. We're being very thoughtful about how those monies are going to be used. A number of states have already spent, you know, some of that or all of that money. And Rhode Island kind of took a step back and said, you know, let's, you know, we have this pool of funding. Let's look back and see what we need. And I think from that standpoint, you know, providing much needed affordable housing, providing small businesses with some help, you know, really kind of an infrastructure, and I don't mean infrastructure from roads and bridges like we're looking at on a national level, but looking at, you know, what can we do within the state with these funds to make Rhode Island a better place for all, and looking longer term. And that's something that's, I think, a very welcome approach.
Absolutely, Jeff. Absolutely. For the last question, I wanted to discuss municipal demand, which have been strong for some time. And we noticed demand for munis started to wane as tax reform became less likely, which you just touched on in a prior question. Can you speak about that and anything else that might be affecting demand at this time?
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, with that, you're right. I mean, we did see spreads really, really tight going into the end of the year. I mean, munis had a great year relative to other fixed income in 2021. But also, again, spreads had widened a little bit as we got into the beginning of the year. Some of that was due to, you know, a lack of tax reform, so to speak. But I also think that, you know, taxable bonds, you know, were relatively less expensive. And for those in the lower tax brackets, might have made more sense. But I also think that the market had gotten a little bit tired, and you were starting to see things readjust. I mean, you did see, if you use munis as a percent of treasuries, you know, you did see those figures down into historically low numbers in the mid-50s, where, you know, historically they're considerably higher than that. I'd say probably 70s to 80s%. So you're starting to see that readjustment taking place in the first couple of months, along with concerns about the Fed raising rates. You know, you did see the individual investors kind of step back a little bit and just kind of held cash as they were concerned about, you know, the markets going in the same direction. And what I mean by that is interest rates were going higher while equities were going down in value. So values are going down. Historically, they stocks and bonds tend to go a little bit more in opposite directions. But for the first couple of months of the year, they went in the same direction, and folks weren't used to seeing that. We've seen since that time, we've seen those markets going in their more traditional opposite directions. So from that standpoint, I think from people, you know, getting additional demand back in the market, you know, we'll see that. I mean, a lot of the deals that are coming, you know, getting good demand. There's just not a great deal of supply at this point in time. But as that supply continues, and it's, again, it's still a little bit early in the year, but we'll start to see that ramp up in here, particularly if rates, you know, relatively speaking, are still at historically low levels.
Interesting stuff. Jeff, thank you for your time today and for your insights not only on the Rhode Island market, but the broader municipal bond landscape. We, of course, always appreciate it.
Great. No, thanks. Thanks for having me, and always great to talk to you guys.
This presentation by Clairfeld Financial Advisors, LLC, the sub-advisor to the fund, is intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as a receipt of or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from Clairfeld or any other investment professional of your choosing. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio managers and do not necessarily reflect those of the investment advisor or sub-advisor of the fund. Before investing in a fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor when you visit www.aquilafunds.com or call 800-437-1020. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible. Investments in bonds may decline in value due to rising interest rates, a real or perceived decline in credit quality of the issuer, borrower, counterparty, or collateral, adverse tax or legislative changes, court decisions, market or economic conditions. Fund performance could be more volatile than that of the funds with greater geographic diversification. For more information on the entire Aquila Group of Funds, please visit www.aquilafunds.com. The fund seeks to provide a high level of income exempt from state and federal income tax, as is consistent with capital preservation. Past performance does not guarantee future results. For certain investors, some dividends may be subject to federal and state income taxes, including the alternative minimum tax referred to as AMT. Please consult your tax professional. Independent rating services such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch assign ratings which generally range from AAA, AAA, highest, to D, lowest, to indicate the creditworthiness of underlying bonds in the portfolio. Where the independent rating services differ in the rating assigned to an issue or do not provide a rating for an issue, the highest available rating is used in calculating allocations by rating. Pre-refunded or escrowed bonds are issued to retire or regain an outstanding bond issue at a specific call date. Until the call date, the proceeds of the bond issuance are typically placed in a trust and invested in U.S. Treasury bonds or state and local government securities. Modified and effective duration both measure the value of a security in response to a change in interest rates. Effective duration also takes into account the effect of embedded options. The weighted average life, also referred to as weighted average maturity, is a reflection of the quickness with which the principal of an issue is expected to be paid. A credit spread is a difference in yield between two bonds of similar maturity but different credit quality. taxable equivalent yield is the return that is required on a taxable investment to make it equal to the return on a tax-exempt investment. For certain investors, net investment income tax, known as NIIT, may apply. NIIT is a 3.8% tax established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that applies to the lesser of the net investment income or a taxpayer's modified adjusted gross income above an applicable threshold amount. Yield refers to the earnings generated and realized on an investment over a specific period. Yield is expressed as a percentage based on the invested amount, current market value, or face value of the security, and includes the interest earned or dividends received from holding a particular security. The yield ratio represents the comparison of the expected yield of one bond to the expected yield of another. A yield ratio is important when deciding whether to invest in one bond or another. Generally, the higher yield is considered better. ARPA stands for the American Rescue Plan Act, which provides direct relief to cities, towns, and villages in the United States stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic, as overseen by the U.S. Treasury Department.